to cash investing.
We were only having 2 months of commission. Four other positions were contracted around the whole thing. So we had it to, in any case, they changed it in the day.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Committee Members and colleagues, thank you very much for this opportunity. For the purposes of ease, substance and use advocacy research and training, the acronym SMART. We welcome this bill. We feel that it's going to make many positive contributions. However, certain concerns are the research that substance use disorders, and we prefer to use the words alcohol and drugs, because alcohol is a legal substance that we control and contain under the law. Drugs are very often illegal. So alcohol and drug disorders are preventable, they are treatable, they're progressive, they're chronic, and they're relapsing medical conditions with behavioural components and social consequences, and which require a range of interventions. We've heard about biopsychosocial, so that, I guess, takes that's a longer word for what we're saying, is that we know now that research tells us that when people become, when people start using substances and they continue to do so, it has effects on their brain. And it takes time for the brain to heal. The research is quite clear on this. We also feel that we don't have common language, and the word that I've heard very often in this room today, Chairperson, is clarity. We need clarity. And we don't seem to have definitions. Clear-cut definitions. When we're talking about early intervention, when we're talking about prevention, we don't have clear-cut definitions. So we're asking that a common language be developed, and even within the bill, within the different instruments of state, such as the norms and standards, draft norms and standards for prevention, for community-based, the draft norms and standards for inpatient treatment, outpatient treatment, and the norms and standards for inpatient treatment, we're using different terminology in the substance abuse policy as well from the department. We're using different terminology. So we ask that a common language is fostered so that we're able to define the same things and talk about the same things and know what we're meaning. And particularly, we ask that inpatient treatment centres, halfway houses, and outpatient and community-based programs, and the legal entities managing these programs are spelled out clearly. We've also looked at certain specifics within the bill that we've made recommendations with regard to. So, with regard to substance use disorders being preventable and treatable, we know that they run along a range, a continuum. In our submission, we draw a graph of different stages of substance use and the appropriate intervention. So somebody who's using alcohol and has a couple of drinks after dinner or with dinner would be using alcohol. However, if they get into a car and crash, they will be misusing alcohol and may fall foul of the law. So we need to be very cautious about our definitions, we feel. That use, well, no treatment really is required. However, we do need prevention, etc., programs and misuse. We do brief or early intervention. Abuse, which is another phase. Brief interventions and out or inpatient programs. And dependence, which some people call addiction. And in the bill, in the draft bill, it talks a lot about dependence, and that would assume that we're only going to deal with people once they've hit the end of the road. So We know that that's not the case. This bill addresses very clearly the different stages. So it's just a question of language and semantics, looking at the language we're using in the bill. We very often, substance use disorders are treated as an acute condition. What's happened is that this is the situation has gone on for a long period of time, and something has happened, and people will suddenly get help. They're then taken away, they're treated as if that's it, it's one quick fix, and they're released into society again. So we know that this isn't possible. It's very much like any other subacute condition, such as diabetes. People continue to eat sugar despite the fact they know that they are going to go blind and have their big toe cut off if they continue to do that. People continue to smoke despite the fact that they are overweight and they're coming, heart disease is on its way. And therefore, we submit that the bill should take into account the subacute condition and medical condition with this. We also know that when people have stopped taking the drugs or the alcohol, it takes a long time for the brain to heal. It's very like having a car crash, and your brain is damaged. Fortunately, it does repair itself, but it takes a long time, and with some of the drugs, the healing is a lot longer, depending on the length of time that people have used those drugs. So we need to take into account as well pharmacotherapy, with that as part of the intervention. A common language will bring us clarity, because if we're not all talking about, we're all talking about fruit, but there are apples and oranges and strawberries and pears, and it's all very well to talk about fruit, but unless we know which fruit we're talking about, we're not going to be able to manage this at all. We can't monitor intervention because we don't know, we're not measuring, again, apples and apples. Various treatment centres and various models of treatment have developed their own terminology. The private models of treatment, they talk about primary care, secondary care, tertiary care. They've got this terminology that isn't relevant. So we're not talking about the same thing. Treatment professionals, We need to have one common language is what will bind us all together and make sure we can monitor everything. We need to define inpatient treatment centres, halfway houses, outpatient and community-based programs, aftercare reintegration programs, and the legal entities managing these programs. Within the bill, the centres are split between private and public. Why? We ask the question, why is this? Does the public sector treatment centres offer something other than private centres? Should all in? We ask our hospitals, whether they're private or schools, if they're private or state, do they not all have to meet the same standards? And why the distinction is made between private and public sector treatment? Inpatient treatment centres could mean anything. We've got here the newspaper from the weekend, the Cape Harbour, where it's actually a treatment centre because they're both treatment professionals, but they call themselves a retreat. Now, 90% of our private treatment centres in the Western Cape are filled with foreign people and people from overseas who can afford to come here because of the weak rand. They're coming to these places where they're not regulated, they're not registered, because they're calling themselves a retreat. Meanwhile, they're obviously treating, it's because we don't have it defined. Now, in the other draft documents of the department, one of the draft documents on policy, it defines treatment as a place where four people or more live under the same roof for the purposes of recovering from drug and alcohol problems. Because we've now got therapeutic communities where people are hiring a house and they're living together to get better from their own drug and alcohol problems. Sometimes they are overseen by a professional. Sometimes they're overseen by a well-meaning person. Sometimes they aren't overseen at all. But always there's a charge involved. And this is a public service. Therefore, we're asking government to please regulate this service to the public, and by doing that, we need clear definitions about what is an inpatient treatment centre, so that we can't be calling it a secondary care or a step-down care or a this or a that or a retreat. We need a clear definition. Outpatient and community-based treatment programs, we don't see that there's any difference. We can't find any research that would tell us that there are two different levels of treatment. Outpatient just means that people don't stay there. Intensive outpatient, the international definition is intensive outpatient is 9 hours of treatment per week. A day program is where they go home at night, but they work there all day. It means they can't go to school or go to work or go anywhere else. Outpatient is specifically based in communities and designed so that people can keep on with their lives and get their lives back together where they are not removed from the community, because most people can't afford that. Not many people in this room could afford to take 3 or 6 weeks off their lives. And also we know the principles of treatment tell us that we need to treat the families at the same time, thereby removing people and putting them out of their families and not treating the families at the same time. That's one of the things we need to look at. So tracking patients. We need to be tracking patients. We also need to make sure that the legal entities that run these organizations are okay. A CC running an acute care medical facility where people may have seizures, where it's an outpatient facility, a one-man show. I want to run a treatment program, therefore I'll just open it and start counseling. We need to have some form of accountability. We need to have treatment centers either to be registered PTY limited, to be NPOs, but therefore there to be some thing that is monitorable and transparent, so that we don't have small CCs all owned by the same person owning different centres. We need to take that into account. And the bill does prescribe the form of government. However, it does say that the board of a treatment centre must, the management board must be made up of this, this, and this. If it's a PTY limited, the bill assumes that all the governance is of an NPO. Some of these organisations are public limited companies, some of them are CCs, so we can't say how their management structure should be run. Those are our three main points. But as we go through the bill, the definitions and the objects of the Act, I'd just like to take you through that, because it really does show how we need to look at definitions. Aftercare means ongoing professional support for service users after a formal treatment episode has ended, is what it tells us for aftercare. Very rarely are treatment centres, private treatment centres anyway, very rarely do they have a time-bound program. So somebody can come here for treatment to a treatment centre in Cape Town, which is a 3-week program, and they can end up there for 6 weeks because they moved on to secondary care, tertiary care, etc., etc. So there is no time-bound stuff. We can't tell when treatment ends or not very often, and we believe that treatment should be time-bound. And that this should read that aftercare means ongoing professional support to a person who has received treatment for substance abuse in order to enable him or her to maintain sobriety or abstinence, personal growth, and to enhance self-reliance. Right. That's what it says, to enhance self-reliance and proper social functioning. We believe it should just be offered to a person after a treatment episode has ended. We can't say to maintain sobriety, to do this, to do that, abstinence, personal growth, and to enhance self-reliance. Aftercare is for the treatment of drugs after a formal treatment episode has ended. Community-based services. In the bill terms, it means a service provided to people who abuse or who are dependent on or addicted to substances of abuse while remaining within their families and communities and to persons affected by substance abuse. Very clumsy, apart from anything else. Community-based services, substance abuse prevention and treatment services rendered to a community. So through all of this, we ask that the bill's language be simplified and that it be standardized, because we go on later, where it says persons affected by substance abuse, we go on to define a person affected by substance abuse. Now, a definition for me, I don't know, is there anybody in this room who doesn't know a family who is suffering as a result of substance abuse? Anybody in this room who doesn't know a family who is suffering? So that really, a person affected by it, we're all affected by it, we've all been affected by it in some way, whether it's crime or whatever. A halfway house. Say, it says meet the definition in the bill. No, that we don't need to say that. What we really need to say is community-based services or substance abuse prevention and treatment services rendered to a community, rather than going on about provided to people who abuse or who are dependent on or addicted to substances of abuse whilst remaining within their family and community, to persons affected by substance abuse. So to simplify the language, not to go on... Well, it's very unusual, sir, I assure you. Everybody who knows me knows I'm very rarely economical with language. So it is to be economical, yeah, with our language. But again, we've got clarity, because the more words we use, the more unclear things become. A halfway house. It says it means a public or private halfway house. Well, it means a sober living environment for people who've finished a formal treatment episode and require a protected living environment. If we could spell this sort of thing out, inpatient service, 24-hour treatment service provided at a treatment centre. Well, why don't we just say substance abuse treatment program where the service users are residents? Outpatient service means a service provided to persons who abuses substances of abuse and to persons affected by substance abuse and which is managed for the purpose of providing a holistic treatment service but does not include overnight accommodation. Outpatient service renders services for drug and alcohol problems, a substance abuse treatment program where the service users are not residents. Person affected by substance abuse. We've recommended that be deleted completely, because it says it means any member of a family or a community not dependent on substances of abuse, but who requires services related to substance abuse. Dependency is a diagnosis, ladies and gentlemen. It's a diagnosis. So if I'm a mother who's abusing alcohol and I've got a child who's dependent on sex, this clause would preclude that child from getting help because it says any member of a family who is not addicted, a community not dependent on substances. So we're only offering these services. We're assuming that persons affected by substance abuse are people who are not abusing substances themselves. So anybody who's not abusing substances, we must also offer services to people who are abusing substances, so we recommend that be removed. Private treatment centre. The bill says a treatment centre privately established, owned by persons or institutions for the purpose of providing 24-hour treatment and rehabilitation services to users. We recommend that private treatment centre should be altered to say privately owned, for profit or not for profit, inpatient or outpatient centre offering treatment for substance abuse. A public treatment centre means a treatment centre established by the minister. Why can we not just say it means a government-owned inpatient or outpatient treatment programme? Rehabilitation means a process by which a service user is enabled to reach and maintain his or her optimal physical, sensory, intellectual, psychiatric, or social functioning levels and includes measures to restore functions or or compensate for the loss or absence of a function but does not include medical care. This is very problematic. It talks about psychiatry and psychiatric functioning, and then it says it doesn't include medical care. It's very problematic. It is recommended that this definition be discarded, and it is incorrect and contradictory. It speaks of psychiatry and at the same time excludes medical care. Rehabilitation for substance use is not possible unless medical care is given on many occasions. That is one of the principles of effective treatment from the WHO and various other bodies. And one is that pharmacotherapy must form part of treatment, medical care. Chapter 2 of the bill, Combating Substance Use, it outlines the minister may develop programs. We strongly support this aspect of prevention. We are always for looking at quality of service and making sure that service users do have quality service and that services are accountable. Because right now we're not monitoring any of our services. It's very, very difficult to monitor because of terminology and because we don't have the mechanisms with which to do that. So relating to protection of children in inpatient treatment centres and halfway houses, we would like to amend that clause B. C is for prevention programs, D for community-based services, E, the establishment, management, monitoring, assessment of halfway houses and inpatient treatment centres. What we are worried about is that Chapter 2 doesn't take into account the medical nature of the condition, and it doesn't include key interventions to prevent and treat the associated harms. But this can be easily remedied by simple additions to Clause 3.2. If we could supplement it with the following sub-clause. Programs to promote health and well-being of individual substance abusers who are unwilling or unable to cease their substance use. We've heard about treatment today a lot, and it sounds, when one sits in this room, it sounds like people can just trip into a treatment centre and say, I'd like some help, please. That's not the reality. Treatment is not available. We don't have access to treatment. It's very lucky if people get the treatment. In one of the courts in Cape Town, we've got 62 people waiting to go to a treatment centre. That's just one of the courts. So we don't have access to treatment. People can't just trip into treatment. Programs to prevent harms associated with substance use, particularly HIV, TB.
Why is that?
Because we don't have treatment centre. We don't have, well, and also there's a problem with access to treatment with the social, with a lot of social work reports. When somebody says they need to go to treatment, there's a lot of gatekeeping and red tape that needs to go on. Rather, we don't have quick medical detoxes. We get them now. I can't talk about the whole of the country, but we don't have
access. There's a lot of red tape.
There's a lot of red tape, but we don't have quick access to services. And plus, we've got an awful lot, as I say, the big private treatment centres in Cape Town are 75% full of foreigners. And this is very, very problematic. So people don't have access to treatment, even outpatient programs, because there is no transport to get to treatment. If I live in Khayelitsha, to get into Cape Town or even Langland to Cape Town. Thank you. We also would like we ask that the bill look at programs to prevent the harms associated with drug and alcohol use, particularly HIV. We know that alcohol use fuels HIV. People become 20% better looking after 5 units of alcohol, ladies and gentlemen. So we do know that that alcohol abuse, particularly amongst our youth who have been drinking, fuels HIV, sexy risk risky sexual behaviour, unplanned pregnancies, etc. We know that tic or methamphetamine, the sexual risk behaviour with that goes up enormously. TB, crack, pipes, we're a nation that smoke our drugs. TB virus and the hepatitis C virus lived in the pipe. In other countries, they thought that with this needle exchange program, they dealt with HIV, which they did. They didn't get the HIV. But now, for example, in England, 80% of the drug-using population have hepatitis C because the hepatitis C virus lives in the pipe. It lives in the spoon. So we know that as they pass that crack pipe or that mandrake pipe or that darker pipe around or that tick pipe, they are passing hepatitis C around, which for those of you who don't know this disease, it's a cross between HIV and liver cancer. It's a cross between AIDS and liver cancer. It's very, very expensive to treat, and it's very often fatal. But other medical consequences, particularly we need to start looking at child abuse, because children in substance abusing households are very often abused. They are very often substance abusers themselves. And we need to make preparation for that. We also recommend that the language in clause 3.2a.2, which is unnecessarily restrictive and somewhat clumsy and technically incorrect, be amended as follows. Proactive measures targeting individuals, families, and communities to avoid risky substance use and to prevent persons from moving to higher levels of use. Again, I would like to bring the attention of the committee to this particular clause. It says, from moving into higher levels of addiction. It is evident that once addiction, there is a severity once addiction has been diagnosed. But I think that they're trying to say higher levels of substance use. We've got our terminology very, very, very wrong in this bill. So we recommend that because it's that clause 5, which addresses service delivery by third parties, be amended to address concerns relating to service provision and quality of service. Grants are just handed out, and we assume that people render a quality service. We've got a treatment centre here. We talk about private centres being expensive. Our government treatment centre here in the Western Cape, it's $13 million a year. So treatment for the people going through that treatment programme, it is just as expensive as them going through one of the private treatment programs. The only thing is the taxpayer that pays for one and the medical aid that pays for the other, or the person that pays for the other. They cost exactly the same. So we would like that to be amended from funds appropriated by Parliament for that purpose, provide financial assistance to registered and accredited providers of substance abuse prevention and treatment services. We've had situations in the Western Cape where unregistered centres have been funded. It's happened nationally, where unregistered, unregulated treatment centres have received state funding. And it's very, very important that we regulate this. The bill actually says that funds appropriated from Parliament to service providers that provide services in relation to substance abuse. It needs tightening up. Shabins render services. Some of them do. We're doing a project actually at the moment with motivational interviewing in some of the taverns in Shabins. Because if we can get the service on board to help regulate people, it's good stuff. So we really recommend that clause be amended to be tightened up a lot. We recommend that Clause 6, which addresses guiding principles for the provision of services, be amended to address concerns relating to the incorrect adult plant use terminology. All services rendered to persons who, in the bill it's written, are dependent and addicted to. We would like to say use substances, not as abuse, and those who are affected by them must be provided in an environment that. So, dependent and addicted are two words that are synonymous, and they're both diagnoses. We want to render services to people who are using, abusing, misusing, and dependent, not wait to offer an acute service to somebody who's already way down the line and caused untold damage to themselves and others. We want a range of services.
We are
quite
running out of time. We need to be able to engage with you.
We would like to, okay, so we would like to just, I'll go very quickly, sir. We'd like to recommend that other authorities, such as the International Commission for the Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, and other national and international bodies, such as the Social Work Development Council, the Health Professional Council, all be engaged. We again try to take away substances of abuse that may result in addiction. It's not just addiction that's the problem, it's the harms involved as well as the addiction. So we would like to amend that to reduce the personal, medical, public health, and social harm. And if we really do go on much in that vein, if you look, we've said that we put in there chapter 5 about that we support chapter 5, and we ask that it also look at the principles of substance abuse treatment. There are certain principles of treatment. No single treatment is appropriate for all individuals. It needs to be readily available. All these are in there. Because of the lack of clarity and clumsy language, it's recommended that 12 be either omitted in its entirety or amended to read, the service user of a public treatment centre is admitted to such centre for the purpose of undergoing treatment for a substance use disorder. Not once does it mention in here why anybody would be admitted into a public treatment centre, must be admitted to such centre for the purposes of undergoing such treatment, including any training, and to perform such functions as may be prescribed. They're going into a treatment centre for the treatment of drug and alcohol problems, not what functioning. And again, we draw attention to the fact that public and private treatment centres. We look at outpatient services and community services and believe that they could be collapsed into the same level of service. And it talks about children not addicted to substance abuse. It talks about referral through the court systems and diversion programs. I'm not sure that we're understanding what is diversion and what is alternative sentencing in the bill. We don't make provision for people who are sentenced to be in specific treatment centres, not mixed with somebody else who's a voluntary patient. So there are all sorts of little spots where it really just needs tightening up. We're very grateful for the bill. We think it's a great leap forward. We're very concerned that it doesn't pay more attention to the management and the corporate governance of treatment centres. And we're very grateful to be given this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was a last for me, certain issues, such as a proper and accurate characterization of the issue and clear articulation of the strategies that have been proposed for this one.
understand, but we're trying to bring a number of things back. And I knew that it needs to be tied clearly and centered. Some of the concepts that we use. As we define treatment, we're very quick to load the minister with the responsibility to establish this program, that program, etc. And we seem to be focusing less on performing the regulatory function of Fed that we are going to, in this legislation, to clearly articulate what the issue is and how we are to progress. We think one of the core objects for this intervention, what are we actually referring to? Key concepts need to be prioritized in terms of making sure that they are actually practical and everybody else knows what they're talking about. You know, there's a tendency that says, well, the sector understands. We're not writing a bill, we're writing a bill for the entire system. If I'm a user or if I'm a parent, I should be able to be put in the same level as somebody who is an expert. But members, you've heard it. Issues of coordination are coming up again. Hopefully, when we interact and that, there's a concrete representation from the health sector here, from an ex-colleague. So, because that's one of the issues we want. But yes, members, it's your turn. Honorable Zimande, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so, thanks, Chair. Again, welcoming the this presentation of the group, and I concur with you, Chair, but I think it gave us a useful food for thought. And as the committee would remember, it's a matter that we raised in February already. With the department, the inconsistency of the language as such. But just think the question of clarity, since there's lots of proposals about certain language and terminology and all of that. Perhaps we should share with us. The only today, Chair earlier on, is using the word the rationale, all the word the whole day. Really, I asked us to ask in the same thing. I understand the rationale, but what I want to understand is that what informs some of the language proposals that they are making is a consensus within the sector itself in relation to those certain ways and technology that they are proposing. Maybe she could cite one or two examples if she can, but if she can't, especially as I said, it's a useful area of, you know, that's specific to how we deal with this issue. You recall, Chair, that even the court has been trying to say that, you know, they want us to be very vigilant when it comes to the draft, into the law that we draft in terms of the concepts that we are ushering in and the terminology that we are employing as such. So if she could tell us what is the other thing, is always just that she's a mistress, you know, she knows the grammar very well, and all the English words very well. So
if you understand the meaning of mistress, township,
I'll try.
And the knowledge it was just in the comment that I think we certainly have to look into the definition of chair quite seriously this time as we've been doing this. We had such a preoccupation with the children's been trying to clarify the concept before we write them into cross. I mean, before we lost them into cross. And certainly, you know, as I said, Chair, appreciating this focus on language use and the proper definition and the terminology we're employing, I think it's a very useful
in the presence of the presenter, comment on so that you can respond well to here. Because next week, because of the you and us, and they won't be there to respond to the issues that you might want to raise. Otherwise, we'll deal with the issues when they come to the deliberation. Any comments from the CDA?
Provincial
level, and not necessarily the national level. I may be wrong, but is there any such information you would like from information to be submitted to the Department of Medical Education?
I think the context was the treatment centers
come in various guides, and the challenge actually is, are you able to conduct your own education and ensure that it's being enforced? And one of the issues we raised is that as long as
note what the speaker said, but I think there are instances where some definitions will keep the question of time. So we may not be able to, you know, accommodate each and every person's definition. So I think the speaker needs to bear that in mind. It's really difficult to accommodate everybody when it comes to definitions.
No, don't worry. This committee is defined. If we think he's coming with an excellent definition, we'll substitute the department's definition with heaven, unless we decide otherwise. We have to ask this either. But I take your point that there are different ways of actually. Alright.
The second one changed a little bit.
Let me just indicate that the one point, though, which I think is really big, is one of complexity and ease with which, you know, we conceptualize it. As I said, the officials must not draft it, they bring it to the legal profession, they have to be mindful of the sector which works in the environment and also ordinary people are. And I think that's the point that essentially is. Alright?
The last one, Chair, you will recall that Peter indicated to this house that there are certain things that you picked up that you want to look at. Yeah, and I think some of them would be what Peter is going to do.
I must go make the point that I hope we're not going to end up in a similar situation to the whole of us, where we found ourselves almost rewriting the board. Partly we found that the partner had a good policy framework. That policy framework did not find its way into the actual legislation that they drafted. So there is sometimes it is juncture between what the right hand has in mind and what the left hand is actually doing. And I think that's one of the concerns that but is there any member who wants to raise any other issue to which he would want the presenter to respond? Yes.
She mentioned alcohol, or the term, the use term. I understand it's in to drug, if you talk drugs, but what I'm trying to understand here is she's proposing the creation of Chichotlan, or, you know, in a size aspect, she's breaking down use, misuse, abuse,
addiction,
and all of it. So if she can just give it a little more detail for me in terms of different, some understanding about the use, misuse, and abuse, some different, it would be helpful just to.
In fact, I was also very interested because I suppose if we can elicit that, then automatically some intervention occurs. Whether it's criminal intervention, whether it's treatment intervention, I mean, it simply shouldn't happen. So whether the abuse and all the other penalties come into it, the difference if it's the elicit. Are we making those distinctions? How is this country contact together and assuming that things will not be out another way? Yes, over to you.
My
answer
to
thank you, Kelly Boha, Dr. Kuru, by Duncan. Youth. At first, listen, Mr. Mandy, I'm going to talk about definition, because our definitions are the same throughout the world. We've just, as the National Department mentioned, we recently had a symposium with the Commission for the Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities internationally, and it's through using a common language that we're able to monitor programs, again, internationally. So when we talk about when we've got a definition like youth would be drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, therapeutic use of medicine, taking them the way the doctor tells you to take them. That would be youth. Some would say that smoking cigarettes would be misuse, because if we were meant to smoke, wouldn't God give us chimneys, you know, in our heads? But it causes some of the biggest health crises in the country, but nicotine abuse. But it's legal. It's the only legally available substance which, when used exactly as intended, kills people. So now alcohol, if I have two drinks and or 10 drinks or 15 drinks.
Some of us alcohol users.
And I go home and I am at home and I go to bed, how old am I myself? But if I get in my car after I've had two drinks, I have suddenly started to misuse alcohol. I'm against the law. I'm misusing it. Or if I'm getting drunk so I can party, or so it's a social lubricant. It's giving me confidence. I'm misusing it. I begin to, and there may or there may not be harmful consequences. So, there may or there may not be harmful social consequences. Therefore, that would be misuse. Abuse is where there are harmful consequences. And ongoing, not periodic, but ongoing. There's always an argument with my husband. Always supper isn't ready. Always the children aren't got to school. Every Friday. And every Monday. And then dependence is when I can't stop. I cannot stop. So people misuse. It's a change in the brain that causes dependence. Much like someone who's got high sugar, until it kicks over into full-blown diabetes. It's whatever it is that clicks it over. It's the changes in the brain that cause the compulsion and the obsession, so that people can't stop it. They're having to, they drink early in the morning. They didn't make a choice. Nobody ever took that first drink or that first drug and thought, I'm going to ruin my life and my family's life. Nobody ever did that. It happens to people. It was never anybody's intention. So we know that there is a continuum. South Africa, we've got Statistics from the Medical Research Council tell us that 1 in 10 women drink at risky levels. They misuse alcohol, 1 in 3 men. So that would be misuse. They drink too much, too often. So those are clear clinical definitions, and an addiction is a diagnosis. It's a diagnosis, not something that's a bit airy-fairy. It's a diagnosis. It's like saying, I've got the pseudo-arthrodes leg. It's like saying, Sarah, your leg is pseudo-arthrodes. It doesn't work like other people. It's a diagnosis. I hope that explains the definitions. Definitions, brief interventions, early interventions. It's a definition. It's all clinical terminology. It's clinical terminology. It's used throughout the world, and it translates into other languages. And when they can't find words for it, they use English. It's like the French, they call the weekend le week-end, and shopping, le shopping. So, the other questions, so were about individual cases, ma'am, sorry, were about individual cases where money had been given to unregistered organisations. Yes, I can certainly provide those for you. But again, it's because we're not regulating who should be getting the money and what you require to have the money. Just having an NPO is sufficient to be able to get government money. And it's very easy to set up an NPO. So whether you've got any, just an NPO, that's all you need is an NPO number. Nobody does any checks, any tax checks, nothing. Nobody checks on this at all. I would suggest that in the
document. That was a very good advice and proposal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, yes, there was an incident here in the Western Cape where an unregistered centre was given an awful lot of money by two spheres of government, none of them national.
No, I know that with the funding of World Organization, when we passed the social bank in 2004, that component was left out strongly and understanding that the Department of the Internet with the new regulation framework. Because the National Welfare Act, 1975, which is the same government. The synergy between the overarching policy on funding of land organization and land function legislation such as the Children's Act, we need to find a way to harmonize implementation of our policy. But yes, the point has been made.
Okay.
That about it?
Okay.
I think I should want to remain for me to really thank you for your
thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to proceed straight away to the second from the last. I'm sure that I'm told that the next presenters are pressed for time. So if you sacrifice to be for now, and just allow them to do that. So let's proceed and begin.
Mm-hmm.
under those circumstances, I would like to take this opportunity. It is a grassroots level community based organization. I think I must highlight the way our church is by the members. The parliament coordinator, my big implication of my organization. I didn't think that I would be selected. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity. The way they selected, I didn't think that I would be selected when I gave the submission. So I would like to thank their first
No. Your input, especially at grassroots level, is highly prioritized.
The reason why I'm saying so, okay, where I come from the Eastern, you can be a good and have a good input, but you have that pulling down syndrome. I don't like to hide. So I'm so grateful to your members for your advice, saying the both and the others. With the aim of helping children while they stay with their family. And then I did some voluntary services since 1993 without being paid, but because I was working with African children, I was so passionate about that. When I was in the children's home, I saw that not all children are supposed to be in the children's home, more especially our children who support extended family. And the center is near the dump site. So I took children from the dump site, were starving for food. The disease poisons and all those, it was something for them. And then even now they promoted themselves, they were using petrol now. So the other thing that I came across is was lack of proper parenting in our society. Sometimes the parents, they overload the work, sometimes to the teachers to just send the children to the child. And the number of children in our area is very high, not only in our city centers, but also in our townships. And also the number of children and youth that are not attending school is very high, and we know that there are some high-flying, non-paid school fees schools there outside, where they are being exploited, where they learn all those the lifestyle that is from the adults. Yes. And more special, I would like to mention our Buffalo City municipality. Our children and youth do not have access to the rehabilitation programs, as most of the services are owned by private halfway houses, which do not admit people who do not have money to pay. And also, our hospital doctor, sometimes you have to challenge your life. I'm sitting up with a problem where I have to challenge the doctor. When the child was admitted, and he came, the doctor came and discharged the child, I had to call the professor who was in charge of the ward. So, ultimately, he discharged the patient without the treatment. And what is worse, I was not given any clearance for my skin. So I had to go on my own without a return something, to present to the relevant places that I was doing some research for information. And then what we have, our core activities in the center, we have our home-based community care work. We are having child care workers and health care workers who do home visits. They are also doing child care services, but under difficult situation. We are also dealing with health education, that is peer education, counseling, basic counseling, and we are doing referrals to appropriate professionals. We've got a food kitchen for their nutrition. We've got homework supervision. We've got substance abuse awareness. We do home visits, aftercare, and we do family reunification for the children on the street. And for those young adults, I'm in the process of having partnership with Buffalo City, FCT College, for those who are over 18 years. And we receive a lot of support from the community. And we receive a lot of support from other NGOs for workshops, and also sometimes for the resources, they support us. And they type our letters. And then we've got the highlights and successes. The rate of children going to school now has gone up. And we have tried to send them to the main street in school. And then the young adults with substance abuse programs, they are being supported. And the parents also are mobilized in claiming their children's rights. Because some other parents, they do suffer because they don't know about their rights. The rights like child support grant, the foster care grant, and the dependency grant. And we also, through poverty alleviation, we assist families in setting up their food security gardens. And we also wrote in the topic of recycling and those people, they were from the dump site. And we've got challenges. That is the growing number of children in our township and city centers, and then the access of information from government of Israel about the rehabilitation institutions. There are still some red tape. And we need accommodation, and the lack of funding for is hampering our service delivery, and the lack of transport. Sometimes we do need transport, and also the lack of equipment and resources. As a community-based organization that is registered under the social development, we are using the standards and tools that are meant for children and youth, which are the IDPs, we also doing the health talks and the home visits, also the statistics, and we've got the daily program. And then, with our proposed recommendations or solutions, which we think that they must be compulsory, is the early intervention
to avoid the disaster by the affected communities. The setting up of one-stop social justice centers for children and youth who are abusing substance, that is government-run facilities, because we are scared of fly-by-night centers. The counseling of the victims and their families, the group counseling, the formation of support groups. Clinics and hospitals must offer proper medical treatment for complications and withdrawals, and that must be enforced. And the relevant government departments must fund treatment and prevention programs. That is the Department of Education through the awareness campaign, Department of Health, training of home-based care workers, social development, equipping of child care workers, and also food security, that is social relief of distress for the family. And properly trained community members should be roped in for the establishment of community-based services to avoid the influx of hospital visits. Community-based organizations should be assisted by the professionals in establishing programs for aftercare and the reintegration services. That is, there must be an entry point and an exit point. And I conclude by saying that I pledge myself in supporting and assisting our children and youth who are stigmatized and casted away because of their children.
Thank you very much. Short and to the point. It is now an opportunity for members of the committee to interact with if they have any comments or any questions or clarity on the presentation. Over to you, members. Any takers? Honorable colleagues?
Thank you, Chairperson, thanks for the presentation. And once again, I have more things I assume the presenter might have gone through the hearing itself. And if it's only based on I wonder if he's looking into Chapter 4 of the bill. For the purpose of what they are doing is to be focused on. If they have done so, I would like to know if they think this is enough. Because they are more about awareness. No, you don't have to worry, but if you have been connected, it's not a problem. I think that you are focused around the awareness and the regional community. Now, in the arising out of that, they may not have read it. Do you anticipate or do you have a feeling in a simple language that the leader itself does raise the kind of work with you and does strengthen the opportunities of our community?
Thank you.
Any other questions, honorable members? I must say, I'm just looking at four points. Very broad, very broad community based service has been defined. So, yeah, in any case, I see the definition of the but other than the definition and that one, sure, it seems to be basically set. There's a thousand questions to ask. If this is one of the primary new actions in the presentation, then one of the next questions.
very much. Thank you for the presentation. You say that in Buffalo City, the children do not have access to rehabilitation programs. And I actually want to ask the party, because that's true. Are there no rehabilitation programs in Buffalo City?
And of course, if the department wants to go and investigate, find out. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying that at all. I'm really saying that this is the indicator of pressure. All right. The proper procedure is that even though at that stage the jail has not been identified, they couldn't touch it. Only I can amend the bill. So if the bill was then approved by cabinet, it's now the bill as specified by the state joint finances, and now the bill has been introduced. We are now having the bill before us, and the things that we identified with them at that stage are going to come back again during the deliberation. So at that stage, they're going to have to tell us how do they propose to rectify some of the gaps that we identified at that stage. So at that stage, that we can then begin to get from them how do they propose to rectify. So correctly, they do not have the power to touch the government from past cabinet until this comes back.
Absolutely. I understand the principle. We can't make it a battle.
Yeah.
We interacted with this team long before it was even in the cabinet.
Yeah.
And this, I still
so
take my fight. Then I raised
it.
I'm not talking about the February. I put all my. The very, very, very initial stuff here in my file. And I'm highlighting and looking at the areas that we raised last year, before it even went to that area is a problem and that area is a problem. And this is one of the questions that was raised then. And when I raised it in February, I was raising it for the second time to say, but guys, when at the informal consultation, you said to your community that this is a problem. So I understand that the February meeting has still come. But at the draft stages in September, I mean in April, May last year. So, I mean...
I think that what's even more concerned is the question of what we are, is the question of the extent to which the department have adequately engaged to respect the professionals involved in the area. And if you look at the presentations that we just on that now, it is clear that there's a whole host of concepts really, but let's get to that point where we're going to trust my floor and look at the issue. Admin, do you want to make a good comment here at this stage? Or will you be doing the impression?
Chair, maybe responding to the honorable member here. I should think last week when we were here, we did the delay. The information, new information that we have included in the this chapter 4, it was circulated in the house. So maybe the honorable member was not there now.
No, that's fine. As long as when we get to deliberation, we have that input in that stage, that would clearly articulate what your proponent to present as. All right. So we no longer need to respond to the issue of the sense of what you have said and the concern and don't help that. I don't know if there are any other issues to go back to. Which one
I'd like to raise the issue of equation. I don't know. But I think that it's cooking crazy is for the people with medical aid. And I'm very worried about people who don't have medical aid. I'm speaking as a person with a hands-on experience. I'm sitting with a child right now, my brother's child now, who cannot get access to Fort England now. Because there are some restrictions, you know. So a long waiting list, he must have an ID, and he has developed a psychiatric problem to go to obstruction abuse. And the other center that I went to, is the cost is 6,000. And I'm not working, and I'm not, the center is not funded by any government department. So I'm talking from experience.
Alright, is there any other point you want to make? Alright. Okay, that's as far as we can take this submission. Honorable Sol.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Just in their own view, look at our.
Yeah, you asked the question, yes. Do you think, the question, Honorable Sol, is do you think this chapter, of course, we do select it and set it closing up on the but in your own view, this chapter 4 that goes to the community, do you think it adequately addresses that area of the community? Do you have any specific suggestions that you want to make that can improve the area?
As I have stated that there must be an entry point. The entry point is the clinics and hospitals.
who will assist the community-based organizations by giving the proper medical treatment. I know from experience about the child that I was dealing with. He was given treatment, and after that, his condition was better. And after that, because I'm not there at home sometimes, there was nobody who was looking after him for his medication. And then he relapsed, started again with psychiatric problems. So now the entry point, the exit point of community-based organizations, when they come from the hospitals and then they go in the community-based organizations, an exit point when the program that was created by professionals. I even asked the certain doctor at CCM to please help me with professional services. He is the head of the mental health unit, and he is willing to help me because of the problem that the
child. Yeah, definitely we can't just say the I think that at some point Parliament could sit down and set certain amounts and that this regards the amount of the information. You can't have the bill, for example, having one clause that says the minister will make regulations on any matter for effective implementation of the process of whatever the government has. We are serious about our function of the role. Monitoring tool that can monitor the standard of operation. We can't have a situation where a bill comes in and because the department also go back and literally write them in the regulation. Sidestepping the legislative. Alright. Thank you very much for promoting all these debates that I had. All right, we're going to take our tea break, and then we will conclude with the last presenter. I'm sure
I also Okay, so this is for when? When is the for the 20th? Oh, okay. I'll even give you a call after the number. I'll give you a call after tomorrow.
But initially, the initial draft one was there was a lot of repetition, and some of the repetitions came out. But you know what I was thinking is that some of the definitions,
will you be dealing with the scope through the committee?
Yeah, I've decided to come.
Okay, no, then we can work together on all the amendments and issues. So as the committee deliberates or things like that, we can come out to that. And after the meeting, usually the month of amendments are dropped and then for the next meeting.
Yeah.
So we can maybe meet that committee after the meeting, go through with it, consolidate it, and then. Okay.
No, I won't be
sitting. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to find I think that you're, I think also, you know, you understand that you're sorry for certain things.
Yeah. And it is now currently
that we definitely not willing, and the province that I come from Mpumalanga, has shown us that the figures is just alarming. But I'm going to ask David to take us through the points that we put together. These points come from our different branches. We've asked all the branches to give their feedback. So, as remember, I said we're a community-based organization. Our branches are being managed by the community. So, therefore, this feedback again is that of the community where we're situated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, ladies and gentlemen. What I've got to present here is just in three parts. The first part is introduction, and then we have some moves on the various chapters, and then just some conclusion points as well. In terms of introduction, I would like to say that this bill is considering improvement on the existing legislation and incorporates technical issues such as the prevention and the regulation of contracting services. It is important, however, to note that it is necessary to broaden the spectrum of addictions to also include behavioral addictions here. Furthermore, the bill also needs to be more explicit in promoting an integrated approach to the problems associated with drug addiction. It is of the utmost importance that, with regard to the treatment of this bill, clearly defines the partnership between the departments of social development and health, as well as the respective roles of each department. That has been an area of major concern for many years, which has hampered effective service delivery, and we are now having an ideal opportunity to rectify this very unfortunate situation. And then regarding the Drug Master Plan, this is the country's primary mechanism for combating substance abuse and the terms of the bill. And I think what we'd like to see here is that we would like to suggest that this be rather, instead of Chapter 9, be forwarded to the introduction of this bill. Then just the last two comments in the introduction is that we feel that in terms of the content throughout the bill, there must be consistency regarding the reference and the terminology of the bill. And then lastly here is the requirements for registration, the criteria and the monitoring must apply equally to both the private and to also the public prison centers. Then, just briefly in terms of the various chapters, on chapter 1, which is on the definitions, I think it has been said already a number of times this morning, and we agree that I think we would also like to see more clarity in terms of some of these definitions. For instance, the one is on youth and child substance abuse treatment. The second one is we would like to see something that also would include behavioral addictions. We know this is something that's becoming a great concern with internet, gambling, and sex addiction. I think something that is also missing in the definition is a very clear definition on detoxification and the protocol that goes along with that. Point 5 is just an editorial, I'm not going to do that. Then, in terms of the next one here, is just to also include, apart from vulnerable persons, also persons with disabilities due to physical conditions and high-risk users of substance abuse. And then also,
can imagine treating somebody with suspension of addiction in the light of an ethical test and standard
Then just another two definitions that we'd like to propose to be inserted here is on training. There's reference to various training, just to define that, and then also to skill development. And then the last definition we would also like to recommend is to have some course on drug counselors. I know it's a term that's sometimes very widely used, and but we would like to recommend that we will be prescribed definition here to describe the appropriate training and the registration with the professional counsel. And then just in terms of the objectives of the Act, that it should be more specific regarding inpatient and outpatient treatment and also youth treatment service, needed-based services and hospital housing. Then on Chapter 2, combat of substantive view. Just a few points of this morning's order, but things that we'd like to see maybe added here for more clarity. Chapter 2, section 3 2b. We feel very strongly that we must also make reference to HIV, and what we'd like to propose is to add also here the early identification of special needs of babies and children born to mothers who have abused substances during pregnancy, for example, those suffering from FAS. Then also chapter 2, part, section 5, point 2d, is to also include there that this refers to the department funding also assets of NGOs, that there must be a register, but that this must be also in accordance with the service level agreement with the NGO. Then also chapter 2, subsection 3, to include also the service delivery of programs for substance abuse. Chapter 2, 4D, 1B is also to be relating to the protection of children in youth care centers. And in the last one, there is chapter 2, 6, I is to read as follows. Recognizes the social, cultural, economic, and then it also includes the psychological and physical needs, including of children whose conditions are as a result of parental substance abuse at conception and or during pregnancy, and gender requirements of such persons. Then, under the heading of guiding principles for provision of services, we would just like to add there a subsection X there, in that is the provision of services that also complies with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Chapter 3 that deals with prevention of substance abuse, the subheading there on the establishment of programs and the prevention of services. Chapter 7, 3, section 7, 2B, which also includes youth there and the specific target group. And then the heading there on the proposed for providing prevention services and programs, we would just like to suggest also some additional adding there. Under 8.1, it is suggested that this sentence is also adjusted as follows. The purpose of prevention services and programs is to promote the reduction in demand and supply of drugs. And then the last point in chapter 382D is also include the following. Physical illnesses such as liver cirrhosis and other social pathologies, such as also family violence and sexual abuse. Then, the heading of chapter 5 in the bill, it says center based outpatient services. We would just like to recommend that it's rather the term is used residential treatment or inpatient treatment. Then the heading regarding the registration and the cancellation of registration of private treatment centers, section 38, should also implement of treatment programs be submitted prior to registration. I think this is something that we are concerned. In the process of registration, what happens now to people that are already operating? Then staff of public treatment centers and public halfway houses. In the bill, it mainly refers to public centers. We also feel that to recommend that this also should apply to the private treatment centers operating halfway houses, etc. Then 183A1. Is also just a technical point there that it must be must and not made. And then section 18, just also something we'd like to emphasize here is that the staff requirements at halfway houses and public, halfway houses, and the required services at the public halfway houses should be more clearly indicated. Then the heading regarding the death of a service user. Section 21, believe that the manager should also inform the family about the death of the service user. In chapter 5, we would just like to add this there, is that we feel there needs also to be some clarity to contain a clause here stating that the directory of all service registered services must be kept by the Department of Social Development, and stipulating whether such a registration is to be provincially or nationally responsible. Chapter 5, 13, and also chapter 17, this is just a general comment we would like to make here. It is imperative to clearly state that the respective roles of the Department of Social Development Health in the registration, the monitoring and assessment process of treatment centers and halfway houses. Above registration, monitoring and assessment equally applies to both again here, the public and the treatment centers. And then chapter 5.2a, we've got also quite a concern here regarding human resources and especially trained staff. We would like just to make the following comment. This clause refers to the Minister's power with regard to the establishment of prevention programs, but no reference is made to the amendment to the current policy of NGO funding for social workers and auxiliary work posts in certain or only in certain provinces. Social work is now a very scarce tool, and other categories of staff, for example, educators, are being employed to conduct prevention programs in schools. It is essentially the intention to give also some critical attention to the adequate funding of these services. And we think that to do justice to this bill, we need to also look to the funding that needs to go along with implementation. I'm almost halfway through. Chapter 7, there's just one comment there. This whole section refers basically to statutory services, and at some point there is reference to also the Criminal Procedure Act, but I think there is some places where we also need to just see where that is also applicable. Chapter 5, subsection 34.3, also includes the monitoring and regulation of services. And then chapter 7, 28, 2, and 3, it is not clear as to whether registered treatment centers are permitted to offer detoxification services or whether they only will require additional registration in order to be in the position to include such services in their program. And we say this is a serious gap in the proposed law. Undoubtedly poses a threat to the well-being of patients requiring detoxification. At the current situation, in the majority of the provinces, is of the most importance to arrange for the admission of patients to the Department of Health Hospital for detoxification. And then even in dire circumstances, furthermore, the Department of Health protocol for detoxification has been in a draft form for a number of years, and it therefore seems to be very uncertain as to when this will be finalized. The relevant clause needs that to be urgently revised in order to ensure the successful implementation of this program. I think for us in the treatment, the whole point again about detoxification is something seriously that we need to address in this bill. Then chapter 8, section 47.3, it is once again necessary to lead in for the realistic consideration of practical and successful implementation of the bill. It is necessary to view this course in order to make it more explicit and workable. And then in chapter 6, just comment here, this refers to the support groups, and to regulate this, that we just have a question mark here. How does it affect currently voluntary support groups like the AA and the NA, whether they also need to be regulated or not? Then in chapter 8, just very briefly, that is going regarding the
survey. I just said now they've done that.
Yeah. Just in terms of the method of dealing with the Afrikaner here, section 48.42, that just adds that will be within 48 hours. Then chapter 9, which deals with the central drug authority and the structures, section 55.6, just to add the following there, is to provide adequate funding by the department for the execution of the objectives of the central drug authority. Section 54, also to add there a point F, is to advise the MEC of social development and to monitor and review the implementation of the new drug master plan for the province. Then section 57C is just to add the integration of the new drug master plan. And then also there under 57 to add also G. And that is the member of the local drug action committee to serve on the provincial substance abuse forum or the relevant provincial substance abuse forum structure. And then the last point regarding the content of the bill, section 57 under this chapter A, we would like to recommend to replace A there with the following wording, and that is that the Department of Social Development, this is the provincially, must in consultation with every local municipality establish local drug action committees to give effective implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. Then in conclusion, due consideration must be given to align funding policies with the minimum norms and standards applicable to the respective services. For example, it is the minimum norms and standards required that child and youth care workers who are employed in treatment facilities for young people. Yet, no department funding is available for such services, certainly in many of the provinces. The lack of uniformity in the departmental funding across the provinces will have a serious implication for the effective implementation of this bill. The success for implementation of the bill, particularly with regard to registration and the monitoring of rehabilitation services, will necessitate urgent and adequate capacity building of programs to empower the department's personnel with the necessary knowledge on substance abuse and the regulated services. The recommendation, therefore, is perhaps also to look at maybe as an alternative to develop maybe a kind of restore some of these services out who can assist the department with administration of these regulations to maybe an independent service provider or consultant. It is also important then to reiterate that the bill is a huge step forward when compared to the current legislation, but it is also critical that we ensure that the realistic and the practical issues have also been taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Member, over to you. Yes,
just about this last call of the day now. I think I want to thank the presenters. I think the presentation as such, it helped us starting to talk to clauses. It indicates quite clearly where they suggest additions as the reweighting and that type of thing. So I think it's useful in the sense that when we get to a stage of formal consideration, I think it would become quite handy. In terms of how they make a proposal and presentation. I don't have necessarily a question at this stage, just to make that observation in relation to the presentation and such.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Another one?
Yes.
Maybe
the question was asked this morning.
then you ask the demand again, do you expect to get home from internet edition? Do you see that would effectively be addressed in a substance abuse legislation that does not require something separate because you would need different interventions because it's mainly behavioral, and this particular legislation talks to specific abuses of yes, it's something that's out there, so I'm just saying maybe you could share more. I agree, we do need legislation for certain addictions such as, but this particular one is very specific. So how do you see this very one being able to respond to them being sex and treating them?
Not the sex addiction one, I'm not sure where the harm
is.
Why should we mention specifically there and is there any part of the bill that you feel might not be complying with the Constitution?
Alright. Does the CDA first want to comment? Does the CDA have anything to do with the other speech? I know that all the services that are rendered gambling sector. I would imagine that while trade and industry may well be a place to deal with the regulation, the industrial comfort of the service in terms of regulation, the social harm or the social impact aspect must surely have something to
live with that, or if not, why not?
Okay, thank you. Essentially, when we look at behavioral patterns, one cannot differentiate whether it be a substance of abuse that is being used or whether it's a behavior pattern, which is abusive as well. And while we recognize that they do go hand in hand, at our first summit that was held last year, we recognized that there was a need to collaborate with other agencies that deal with this in order to be able to address it appropriately. Because you'll find very often that the victims, or rather the perpetrators, are the very same people. They will move from one addiction to another, and therefore you can't separate the issue. But it doesn't fall within the context of the bill here, which is the bill which deals with substances of abuse. So while we are cognizant of the fact, it doesn't deal with it over here. And therefore, as the Central Road Authority, we don't deal with it ideally on our own, but that we do consult with other agencies in this regard, recognizing that this is a societal issue that needs to be addressed.
Social behavior can be very broad. Some form of addiction, I'm sure, are not very bad, like alcoholism. Well, I'm not sure, maybe it's just bad. But, yeah, it gets greyer and greyer as you move along. All right, the department, do you want any, make any specific comments at this point in time? Or will we go to the end? All right. Third one. You don't want to climb here. Yeah. Okay, that's basically it. Are you able to then respond to the issue there?
Thank you, Mr. Chief. I think the first point on behavioral addiction, I think I do take the point right there, but I think that what I'd just like to emphasize here, is it's not just the behavior that is on the addiction itself. And there's very little difference between treating a behavioral addiction to substance abuse addiction. And it's internationally recognized that behavioral addictions are just as successful treated in substance abuse treatment centers. In fact, that is basically the primary place for treatment for also for people with behavioral addiction. And I think the point what is raised there is often it's linked to one another. People in sometimes sort of shifting from one addiction to another. So I think it's more the pathology that goes along with that that needs to be addressed. So I think that is why we strongly feel, in terms of just from our own treatment centers, there is really a pressing need from the community to also admit people with other addictions in our programs. And I think if again we look at the registration of our programs, it's really important to actually also recognize that you also include and be very specific what you treat and what not. So I think that is why we probably feel that this must be also included in this bill. Perhaps. Then, the point on detoxification, we know that I can only speak from the Western Cape, but I think I'm aware that there is certain protocols and policies in place in other provinces regarding referral or for clients to also do health facilities. I think what we just need to say, there is really a lack of enough medical assistance in treatment of substance abuse, especially maybe not the inpatient, but more in terms of community-based outpatient treatment programs. And very often we find it that though there may be policies and protocols in place, it's very difficult to access hospitals or clinics, and etc., to assist with detoxification. I think that's why we feel it's very important to clarify this more clearly, is to see again here the roles and the responsibilities of the two departments. And I think if I might just make an ad break here, we're very fortunate in the Western Cape that we have been now seeing a partnership between the Department of Health and Social Development coming on board to actually jointly fund an intensive program where it basically covers a one-stop service, which includes also the medical part of the treatment as well as also the social part of the treatment program. And I think this is what we would like to see, this real clear roles and responsibilities of both departments in the branch of services there. Then the remark regarding the difference between public and private centers, I think in essence, this what we would like to say, it's the same norms and standards and regulations applies to both. So whether the one is 100% government funded or not, the regulations and the application of the program is there need to be no difference there. And then the point on the constitution, I think one do take it pretty easily for granted that it is supposed to be inflicted in your home. Well, but I think what we've seen in particular in substance abuse, there have been very often cases where you don't see this really in practice. If I just maybe think about human rights, how often can you violate this in your treatment program? I think a second point was that also the constitution makes a provision for is accessibility of treatment, that every person do have the right and accessibility for treatment, and that also accessibility also to look at things like language and cultural differences. And at the moment, there are quite a lot of barriers that actually keep people out of treatment. So that is why we really think it's important to maybe just emphasize the importance of the constitution here. And maybe just a point that we've also heard today, the whole thing about affordability, that is also something that people do have the right. So it's a constitutional right for people with a problem that there is provision and there is help available for them. So I think although it's part of the understanding, but maybe we'll maybe feel that it needs to be highlighted in the bill as well.
So when we ask no court why they're kicking out additional documents, we said the draft is just ambitious, it's not more ambitious. And you've got to treat venom with venom. So I'm kind of afraid that this topic of the approach of having workshops and things, that they don't really make the desired changes. And they were promising that it's been reported that their relapse incidents are a lot lower than some of the treatment centers out there are. So it would be interesting really to hear what the response is, the honest response is going to be able to meet the question. Because the people are saying that if you look at the vicious tendency of abuser, it just shows you how vicious the animal in the person is that we're trying to break down. Mm-hmm. And you need something which is strong to counter that. It is interesting to hear how we see it. And this is the issue about counts. I think we're going to want to have now a common response to some of the issues around the delineation of our social development and what is health and what is social development, especially around the treatment there. All right. Any last minute comments, questions, questions about that anybody wants?
I'm not sure if we're all clear about that question that was specific about gambling, the addiction, the special addiction. I'm not sure if we're quite clear to say that the solution can be just a treatment center on those, the way I see it. So perhaps it's something we trouble.
No, that's true. Yes.
Information, there's a whole commission here on funding for the addiction who wants the bill to be changed for prevention of and treatment for addiction law. And they list, about 15 or so addictions that should be treated. The whole thing is about addiction as opposed to
substance abuse. Because it seems to me that prevention of substance abuse is fundamentally a supply side intervention. And that if you're talking of treatment, invariably, you're not actually treating the substance, but you're actually treating more the abuse. The detox, yes. The detox is since, as we were told that, I think the detox is a small part of the treatment. That the detox, but essentially you're dealing with the behavior problem. And that what you're trying to do is to reinforce the human psyche, whatever it is, to be able to resist, to abstain. Abstinence equals cure. Abstinence equals cure. And if that abstinence about willpower, all your whole psychological is all about behavior. Why are we making all this differentiation? Why are we not regulating the other treatment standards, like your gambling, abandonment, gambling, and stuff? Why are we excluding them? Who regulates? Can't you be privacy without regulating your they think that the approach. Before you respond, I don't know if CDA wants to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that we need to concentrate our efforts, because otherwise we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're going to start regulating those people who are running on the road because they are addicted to the endorphins which they are stimulating. And it just becomes such a complex issue that I think we just need to really concentrate on this first and deal with this as an issue and then have a look at other issues. But it just becomes very, very convoluted and complicated if we're going to start looking at all of these things at the same time.
I think for me. But yes, you want to comment on that another issue?
Yes, I just want to agree there. I think if we look at the current sort of national drug master plan policy, obviously I think one cannot really include these other behavioral addictions. So I agree the point there, but I think we're looking at this from a service delivery point of view, and I think what you rightly said at the moment, there is no kind of regulation of any kind of treatment and assistance there. Now, I think we would like to say at the moment, we see this as a major threat for our future. I think if you see, especially what is happening at the moment with internet and pornography, and I think, you know, it's really totally underestimated what the impact of this is. The serious nature of this is just as serious as any other physical addiction causes. And I think just the other point is not only treatment, it's also prevention and awareness that also needs attention here. So we need to address the whole spectrum of also behavioral addictions as well.
My question is not so much the whole of the CDA. The CDA may be the most important scope, but isn't the PAC itself having a greater responsibility on our staff? Or even PAC, when people say that we also want to be a program. Then who then takes this one? Who coordinates? Who ensures that numbers are necessary? Or is it a matter that says that the industry who wants to influence relevant regulatory institutions for all of this in the social impact issue are clever to the work and impact to coordinate government response?
Yes,
I to have that name, that Gary. Chair, when dealing with the issue of success at youth, we are not only dealing with the issue of success at youth, we are also indirectly dealing with other issues as well. Say, for example, when you deal with the success at youth, you are also addressing issues indirectly, issues that are related to crime, for example, family violence, and then and a number of other issues indirectly. But here, our focus should be on substance abuse, but taking into consideration that we are going to have impact on other social ills as well.
That's indirect.
Indirect.
Aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indirect. No, my question is that indirect aspect also indirectly dealt with in the field?
Yeah.
All right.
Chairman, you want to say, I think the department may not have applied this much to the other intangible contribution.
Yeah.
But I think something that the department needs to develop a policy on. And I'm taking that to my principal.
Even if we can conclude some of the things in the context of the role, perhaps in our report, we can highlight the need for the digital. All right,
thank you. I just wanted to indicate that we understand that South African communities deal with various addictions, more on the supply of reduction. I also propose that perhaps in their submission you could also indicate that they indicate how they manage other addictions. Thank you.
On that note, I think we've had a long and very fruitful day. Thank you very much for your presentation. We're going to proceed tomorrow with the remaining four presentations. And next week, as I indicated, we'll be working on
from Debbie.